Thank you. Well, I love it when the sound man is ready. And so thank you very much for your quick action in sparing us. Now what was I going to say? Normally, throughout the Haftorah cycle, the reading of the prophets that accompany the Torah readings, there is a connection, a link, verbal or historical, from the prophets to the reading from the Torah. For instance, in the Torah portion about Noah, we read it from Isaiah about a reference to Noah. Isaiah refers to Noah and the flood and actually uses it in a very different and interesting way. He uses the promise never to flood the earth again as a promise of God's faithfulness to Israel. In other words, Isaiah was pointing out the flood story is actually more about Israel than it's about a flood story. And so each of the Torah portions have a corresponding link in the prophets. And we have been seeing that as we've been progressing through each week, portion by portion, until the last couple weeks. Beginning 2 weeks ago, the Haftorah readings take a left turn, a right turn, and go in a different direction. Now, actually, until the end of the Torah reading cycle, the Haftorah readings are not going to be connected to the Torah direction, at least in a concrete, specific way. Instead, they're related to the season that we find ourselves in. Beginning 2 weeks ago, we have three Haftorah readings from the prophets that lead up to the Jewish holiday of Tish B'Av, the ninth of Av. It's that holiday that describes the and commemorates the painful history in certain ways throughout Jewish experience, beginning with the destruction of the Babylonian, or by the Babylonians, of the first temple about 2,500 years ago, and other events leading right up until just a number of years ago, the disengagement of the Israeli settlements from Judea and Samaria occurred at the time of Tisha B'Av in 2005. Why it was set to occur on that date, I'm not sure. But this is the season that that the Israel began its process of relinquishing its biblical homeland, Judea and Samaria. And as I said, there's been other things in history that have fallen on this date. For 3 weeks, we read Haftorah portions that prepare us for this holiday. This week being the last of those three. Each of the three are heavier and heavier in their sorrow and their weight and their sheer pain, reminding us that it is our choices that lead us through painful historical experiences. Our lives are tied to the choices we make, is a concrete way of summing up the 3 weeks of, they're called the 3 weeks of affliction that lead up to the holiday next week. And then following Tisha B'Av, there are seven Haftorah portions that are called the Haftorah portions of consolation, of comfort. And they lead up to the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. I was commenting to Karen this week that I think it's interesting. We have 3 weeks of affliction. It's even a difficult concept to mention. 3 weeks of affliction and then 7 weeks of comfort. We get twice as much, more than twice as much comfort than we have affliction. But it seems like we have to go through the affliction to come out on the other side. This week's reading from the prophets that prepare us right before Tisha B'Av is the first chapter of Isaiah. The first chapter of Isaiah. The context is not the destruction of the temple. Isaiah lived about 150 years before that time. What Isaiah chapter 1 addresses is a different attack, the attack of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the empire that existed before the Babylonians. Think about the kingdom that the prophets like Elijah and Elisha dealt with, or Jonah, or Nahum, a coming out of Nineveh. This was the group of people that were the original inventors of international terrorism. Using psychological warfare even, destroying whole populations and moving populations out of their homeland and dispersing them elsewhere. The Assyrians were not nice people, and if you read the book of Nahum, it takes a dramatic event to bring a final end to the Assyrian people. It was the Assyrians, for instance, that brought destruction to the northern 10 tribes of Israelis headquartered in Samaria. Remember the split, the civil war that occurred after the death of Solomon, the nation divided in two. The northern nation, the larger nation actually, was brought to an end by the Assyrians, by an Assyrian king by the name of Sennacherib. He's mentioned by Isaiah in his writings. Sennacherib also came against Judah, the southern nation of Jews, whose capital was in Jerusalem. And in this Torah portion, Isaiah talks about, points out to how this city, Jerusalem, is a city under siege. The enemy at the gates. It describes Jerusalem as a festering sore, a sore that is oozing. It's not bandaged. It's not comforted. It's not been bandaged. It's not been had oil applied. It's an open, painful sore. This is what Jerusalem is like. He even calls it an unfaithful city, a city that has forgotten the Lord. They have no knowledge of God. And in fact, in rather ironic terms, Isaiah chapter 1 compares Jerusalem to kind of senseless animals. I know your pets are all the smartest in the world. And in fact, my sister was telling me when she called me as Karen and I were making dinner last night, She's talking about how smart her dog is. Well, in fact, she considers her dog to be a grandchild of our parents. So she loves, obviously, she loves her dog, little guy named Carter. But then there's not so smart animals. The scripture talks about how you have to put bridles on horses or donkeys to get them to do what you want them to do, to lead them and so forth. But do you know what Isaiah says? Isaiah says, Jerusalem isn't even as smart as dumb animals. An animal at least knows its master. Israel doesn't even know her master. Israel is worse than just a stupid animal. There is great pain that came to Jerusalem at that time. It's actually a miracle that Jerusalem survived. Sennacherib laid siege to Jerusalem, and in order to try to starve out Jerusalem, Sennacherib had destroyed, according to his boast, in an ancient text that has been found, Sennacherib boasted of destroying 46 fortified walled cities in Judea and Samaria. 46. He destroyed Samaria, the northern country. He laid siege to Jerusalem. He couldn't destroy it. In his words, these are his words found on an ancient text, he said, I sealed up Jerusalem like a bird in a cage. It sounds really strong. I guess that's like king speech for saying, well, I couldn't quite destroy them. He doesn't say that. But he says, well, I trapped them really well like a bird in a cage. He can't quite boast that he destroyed Jerusalem. Jerusalem survived. God says there will always be a remnant of Israel. And at the end of the Haftorah portion, God says, I will redeem Zion with justice. And those that are left in Israel, I will restore with righteousness. Verse 27. God will redeem. He does it, interestingly, through, in verse 25 and 26, he does it through judgment. He does it through judgment. So this is the reading for the last Sabbath before the holiday next week. Isaiah encourages the people to, in his words, wash your hands and purify your hearts. Wash your hands, purify your hearts. And even more direct language, he challenges the people to have a conclave with God. It's time you have an appointment with God. He says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk this thing out. Though your sins be like scarlet, they can be white as snow. Is this what we want? Are we willing to meet with God? Is the path set going to end in destruction? So often we fail to recognize that our choices have consequences. Our choices have consequences. And sometimes even more painfully, the choices of others can have consequences in our lives as well. Of course, we're left with the decision, how will we respond to the choices that others make? Our choices bring results. And this is what Isaiah was speaking about. He's saying, your idolatry, your moral choices are making you a really unfaithful city. Jerusalem, you're not a faithful city to the Lord anymore. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk it out. Though your sins be really stained, kind of like this color of these red chairs, though your sins be really stained dark, they can be washed white as snow. Wash your hands and purify your heart before the Lord. Tisha B'Av. It's a day of sorrow for the Jewish community, mourning the loss of the temples. It's somewhat overlooked in modern Jewish practice. Most people don't probably even recognize it or think about it. The loss of the temples seemed to be so long ago. We're used to the fact that it's not there anymore. And so we kind of go on with our lives. Kind of like the idea, perhaps, I read a rather cynical article, I won't tell you where, about the future thought of what might happen to the memorial at Ground Zero in Manhattan.